Everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye, and today we're doing this by Zoom, and I do have a special guest with me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Stephen. Thank you for the invite. My name is Nick Cramp. I'm a business coach, and I run a company called Better Before Bigger.
Great, great. And for those who are listening, just give us a synopsis on Better Before Bigger.
Better Before Bigger is a coaching agency which is specifically aimed at helping adolescent stage businesses reach maturity. So I work primarily with entrepreneurs and founders that have been in business for a few years, have had some success, but now need to evolve the way they operate and bring in different processes, different people to scale to the next level. So my work is with that particular group of people.
Awesome, awesome. And how did you get started with that journey? Because from my research, you're once or still are an entrepreneur in heart as well.
Yeah, I started as an entrepreneur when I was 24. So I bought a health club when I was 24, ran that for a number of years, also started a preschool and nursery alongside them. So I had about 16 years working at the coalface, running businesses, both very service orientated businesses, both long hours, 7 days a week. So hard yards as an entrepreneur, decided that I wanted to work with businesses rather than just work on my own. So did an MBA, learned about business. And then I started applying that as a business coach. And I've been working as a business coach for the last 15 years now.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And it's cool to show that journey for you. I would say started somewhat relatively young, you know, 24.
It was very opportunist. It was back in the days when money was free and easy and banks would lend to optimistic 24-year-olds. Yeah. Which is maybe not the case anymore, but back in the day, it was a way to start a business.
Yeah, I'm sure. Obviously, different times, but you saw the opportunity and definitely took the reins of that. And you know, managing your expectations and the business expectations. How was that for you? Because I know you're coaching others to do the same as well.
Yeah, I think part of my coaching, Stephen, is informed by the fact that I never had a coach when I was in business. And I think that cost me in many ways. I think the danger is working as an entrepreneur on your own is that you don't know what you don't know, which sounds very obvious, but it's very apparent in business that we stick sometimes to what we do know and we ignore the stuff we don't know yet, even though that's important.
Yeah.
And I think what a coach does is help you have the confidence and the courage to go and explore and learn more in areas that you aren't yet an expert in, which improves the business. And without somebody challenging you and helping you to grow, it's very difficult. It's like trying to get better at tennis on your own.
Yeah.
You can do it, but having a coach on the sidelines, giving you some instruction, giving you some feedback, speeds the process up so much more.
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely. And I know in your process, you have these three frameworks that exist. And just for our listeners, would it be possible just to explain how?
Yeah, I work through a process which is reframing, rethinking and refocusing. So I think one of the challenges as entrepreneurs is we get set in the way we do things and we carry on doing something until it no longer kind of works, but we're not really sure why it doesn't work any longer. So what I'm challenging my clients to do is to stand back and look at a situation from different perspectives. So the reframing bit, looking in from the customer's perspective, looking in from a supplier's perspective. And once you've got that reframe, you can then rethink different solutions. So once you've stood back and looked at other people's perspectives, you can get the opportunity to use that and to come up with different ways of working. So to reinvent your service, to reposition the offering. And then once you've done that, it's about refocusing around the changes you need to make to re-embed it.
Yeah.
So I think businesses should always be evolving. I think it's very dangerous, particularly right now when everything is so volatile. You've got to be quite flexible and you've got to be prepared to change your position on certain subjects, given the new information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've spoken this about this in the past, attention, where we used to get customers' attention was through advertising on television. And now we have our smartphones and the attention's actually there. And you can look at the younger generation and you go, actually, why are they on their phone so much? But all the information is literally there. So to have your old school way of thinking, and even though it might be perceived as the right way, today's climate, it's completely changed. Everything's fast paced. No one's really grabbing onto it unless it's constant. So how is, I mean, this is a deep question, but how hard is it, or how challenging could it be for someone who has that mindset of being quite fixed to then opening them up to the horizons of what's happening right now?
It can be a challenge, and sometimes we change too late. So there's lots of examples, unfortunately, over the last 2 years of businesses that didn't pivot quick enough to cope with the changes given the pandemic and all the implications of that. The obvious examples being the high street shops, where if they didn't have an online presence or the different way of, create a way of delivering the service or product to their customers, they were stuffed because we weren't allowed out. So there's lots of examples, unfortunately, where sometimes people change too late. There's also examples of people that change too often, and they're always chasing that latest thing. Another social media channel comes on. I've got to be on that channel. I've got to be on that channel. And that's also a danger that people change too much. And I think it's trying to find that balance between being agile and evolving the business as your customers need it, but also being confident with who you are and what you deliver, and not trying to be too many things to too many people. It always worries me when I start talking to a potential client and you talk about who their market is, and they talk about everybody. And it's just like, that's not a market, that's just the world's population, And it's having the confidence to kind of narrow down and say, right, the service or the product I offer is best suited to this type of person. This type of person is on these social media channels, so therefore I need to be promoting and active over here. And I think the great thing about right now is there's so many different opportunities. But the confusing thing about right now is there's so many different opportunities.
Paradox of choice.
It's difficult, isn't it? You walk into a Chinese restaurant and you've got 100 items on the menu, it takes you forever. You go around to a friend's house and they serve you fish and chips and you're happy as can be. No choice, just get on with it.
It's very true. I mean, with that being said, there is a lot out there. And also, we are talking about the pandemic. We're still somewhat in the mix of it as well. So a lot of things have changed where we had cornerstones of businesses that we never thought would go away, disappear, and with a snap of a finger. And it does make you think, whilst we are changing, there are a lot of young people out there who are now redefining what is popular. How important is it to integrate the younger generation into businesses to give them that new perspective as well?
I think it's so important, and I encourage all my clients to do this. I'm a big believer in apprenticeships. I'm a big believer in growing people within the business. I think if you recruit people that have got the right values and share your vision, a lot of the time you can teach the skills. Learning new skills is now easier than ever before. If we want to learn how to do something, there's someone on YouTube that's told us already, and we can just jump on YouTube and we can find that out in the next 5 minutes. So acquiring the skills is the easy bit, but bringing people into the business that see things differently, I think, is really important. I've just taken on 3 marketing members of my team via Kickstart program and apprenticeships, and they're bringing new energy and new ideas into my business. They're taking me onto different channels and outside my comfort zone in terms of how I'm promoting and how I'm making people aware of what I do. And without them, I would just stick on the marketing that I know and like. So I think it's really healthy for businesses to bring that next generation in and have that fusion of ideas. And I think what's great about, and I'm generalizing tremendously here, under 30s is they're quite happy challenging the status quo. They don't just go along with something for the sake of it. They're quite happy to stick their hand up and say, well, that doesn't make sense to me, or why don't we do it this way? And I think that's really healthy for a business, because if you can challenge internally, you're going to get better solutions.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, it's all about your blind spots and you as a coach showing them blind spots, because I know how it is when you're so tunnel vision in a goal and in a mission, a purpose. You're like, okay, I know what I'm doing. So you've got that self-drive. And it can take you so far up to a point where you hit a roadblock and you don't use a roadblock. So you keep stumbling into this wall.
You keep like, and it just gets painful.
Yeah, it does. And you will learn about the pain, but it's too late because you hurt yourself.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. But how important is this mindset? I mean, we're talking about business, but also for the owner of a business, how important is it to have that as well?
I talk about three different elements which I think are probably equally important. That's mindset, tool set, and skill set. And I think that to be successful in business, you need to take care of all three. I think you can have all the tools and the skills, but if you haven't got the mindset, then you're not going to be successful. And similarly with the other combination. So I think it's really important. But coming across an entrepreneurial mindset, I think is, or developing an entrepreneurial mindset is really important. And I think that right now, there is so many opportunities for entrepreneurs. It's amazing. The entry barriers for getting into an industry are that much lower than they used to be. So the opportunity is greater than it's probably ever been. And I think that the mindset side is the bit that, from a coaching perspective, I spend the most time on. I think you're either working with a client on overcoming limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, fear syndrome, working with someone on those, because we all suffer from those. But having someone to be honest with about it, to bounce off, to pick you up on your bad days, is really important. So I think there's more and more of the coaching that I'm doing anyway is around the mindset and what are the mental obstacles we're putting in play that we need to rethink to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did mention a couple of things like imposter syndrome and elements of feeling like you're doing it for the right reasons, but it's probably more to do with lack of than providing a solution. Or maybe there's other things as well to consider. And the fact that it's good to look into the core of a person to figure out how you can focus on the things that are positive, that will reflect in your business versus the business doing well and hopefully that validating you, because there's a synergy that exists because you are the owner of that business, right?
And it's a really interesting synergy because we get fed off the success of our business, but we need to think and feel successful before the business is successful. So we need to go first in terms of mindset, because if we don't believe it's going to be successful, then we're not going to be presenting it in the way that's going to attract people. People will feed off our uncertainty. So it's all about, the confidence which we deliver, our presentations, our pitches, when we're looking to recruit people. It is a confidence trick to some extent because sometimes we're not feeling 100% confident. But it's important that we're able to project and visualize what we expect to happen. And as it does happen, then we get more confidence. So confidence grows, obviously, as the reality matches our expectation.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And it's like everything in life, really. You are the energy you attract in that sense, which sounds woo-ha, but in essence, it's kind of practical as well.
It does sound woo-ha, but it's also true. It's one of those bits that woo-ha and truth kind of overlap, definitely for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I stick with that mindset. And speaking about that mindset, we're talking about just, surrounding yourself with the right people as well. How important is that just for entrepreneurs not to feel like solopreneurs, but more in a community?
I think again, right now it's probably more important than ever before because we are working remotely more often. We're not having that close contact we previously had with people in the same way. And therefore, the interactions have that much more importance. So I think choosing who we spend time with is more critical than ever because they say that we're a sum of the five people we spend most time with. And if you spend time with people that are either further down the journey than you are, or have skills and abilities that you want to acquire but you have not got yet, some of that's going to rub off. You know, if I play golf against people that are worse than me, my golf drops in terms of my level. If I'm playing against better people, then my level pitches up all the time. So it's really important that sometimes you are the student in the room. And if you're in a room where you know the least, that's a good thing because you've got more room for growth. If you're the expert in the room, then yeah, you can impart some wisdom, but the chance of gaining much wisdom is fairly slim. And I think the important thing with entrepreneurs is to find a mentor or find someone at that next level that you can learn from, that you can use as that kind of North Star to, you know, on the days when you don't feel 100%, you've got someone to bounce off, you've got someone to aspire to. So I think it's really critical that you surround yourself with people that are inspiring, energizing, and also they're different to you. I think, you know, being challenged from people that see the world differently is really healthy. And we're all guilty, I think, sometimes of working these echo chambers where we spend time with people like us who strangely think the same things as we do. And it's really comforting, but it doesn't help us grow.
Yeah, and it's important. Obviously, I think I wouldn't say a luxury, but it's something that we should all strive to have in our life is people that are doing well, but also we can learn from each other. But I mean, those who don't have that, they have, other means of accessing that information. And one of the ways of doing that is through your book as well. So I thought, let's talk about the book. What made you get started in writing the book?
I think the purpose of writing the book and the reason that I did it is because I feel that at the stage that I'm dealing with people where they've been in business for a while, there isn't really a manual for how to progress from this point. I think there's a lot of information out there for startups, how to get off the ground and how to get off and running. But as the businesses grow, I think the amount of information available gets less. And I really felt that there was a, not so much a gap, but a space for my book, which is very much focused on the type of business I spoke about earlier. And it's more of a kind of manual to work from as a checklist of things that you could be doing or you should be doing to get to that next level. So it works alongside my coaching and it helps people to reframe, rethink, and refocus and helps them feel okay about where they're at. You know, it's sometimes very difficult in business because there's always someone doing better than you, and you can always compare yourself to somebody else and feel not great. And the idea of the book is to make people realize that, you know, most people in business suffer from imposter syndrome. Most people have the same limiting beliefs. Most people are kept awake at night by the similar kind of concerns. And it's hopefully trying to normalize some of that so that people aren't beating themselves up and they can again get that positive mindset that they need to go on to the next level.
And just I'm relating to a couple of things. I think not just entrepreneurs, but I think we as human beings, and especially high-performing individuals, we might feel the essence of what you just discussed. And learning how to sort of deal with that and navigate through that is a process in its own right, because you might have all the accolades and all the success, money as well, but you always kind of feel like your former self didn't deserve that. So you don't look at yourself as a person today. You've actually done all the work and you're always kind of facing this dragon. So it's always this weird psychological story of where you want to go and where you are right now.
It's a roller coaster, isn't it, of emotions? And every time you get to the top, there's a little bit dip down, and then you've got to go again. And it's, yeah, we are amazingly complex beasts. And what we feed ourselves in terms of what we read, what we listen to, what we consume is really important. So in the same way that the quality of the food we take on board, dictates how healthy we feel physically, what we listen to and what we read impacts our mental health tremendously, I believe.
100%, 100%. Especially during this time when, lockdown was such a, big part of our lives, and you didn't have escapism, and you had all this information on your TV screen, on your phone, and the food, the bad food, the good food, that you had to make a decision, right?
It was, wasn't it? It was just kind of like, I can consume all this bad food and listen to all the bad stories out there, or, there's a better version of me over here which eats well and consumes good stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those pivotal moments. And I guess, with that being said, I think with entrepreneurship, I always ask this question, and I kind of like to get this viewpoint from people. Do you think entrepreneurs are born or made in the essence?
So it's a really great question and one that we'll never actually know. But my belief is that it's a combination of both. I think some people are born more entrepreneurial, and the environment they're brought up in can impact that tremendously. So if you've got entrepreneurial parents, if you've got parents that worked for themselves, the chances are the children will see that as the norm. If you've got parents that work 20 years in the same job, then the children will feel that's the route they should go. So I think we can't separate nature and nurture that simply. But I think what's great right now is that the opportunity to be an entrepreneur is more available to more people. It's not a perfect level playing field, but there is so much more opportunity because of funding angels, funding circles, peer support networks. Back in the day when I started my businesses, you borrowed money from a bank or family and friends, and that was it. There wasn't any other options in terms of funding a business. But I think right now, if you've got a great business idea, there's lots of ways that can be funded. And that's an amazing time to be an entrepreneur, because in the past you needed the idea, but you also needed the money. And right now, if you've got a great idea, the chances are someone with the money will support you. So I think the chance to be an entrepreneur is available to more people now, which is great. And I think that then allows more people to try it, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's what life's all about, is just trying and seeing what happens, but also knowing that, it's best to give your all in what you do if you're really passionate about it. But I also think with life, there's this sort of algorithm that says, okay, we're gonna, as you level up, it gets harder and harder, just like a video game. So if you're going to stick it out and you want to complete this mission, you gotta learn new skills, you gotta and prioritize things that will help you grow.
I hadn't thought about that analogy previously, but I think the video game analogy is a great one. Because just when you cracked a level, there's another level opens up and it's a harder, and you've got to upgrade your skills, and you've got to get, and it's a continual journey, isn't it?
And that's why I used to play video games. I stopped playing and realized my life is kind of in that world, because you get new responsibilities. You don't have time to play video games. You gotta focus on things that are important. Otherwise, you won't complete the level. So,
But it's a good mentality, probably, isn't it? If you've got a video game mentality, maybe there is a a link between entrepreneurs and video game expertise.
Yeah, probably there is. Probably there is. I know I'm sidetracking, but there's a lot of problem-solving skills that come from that.
Yeah. And I think that what you were alluding to there about, you give it a go, and if it doesn't work, you go again and you learn from the first time around. That's entrepreneurship, isn't it? You have an idea, you try it. If it works, great. You do more of it. If it doesn't work, then you have to rethink, or you have to go again.
Yeah.
And that kind of being knocked down and getting back up is just part of the learning curve.
Yeah, it is. And I think with a lot of things, with that learning curve, obviously there's knockbacks. People think, oh, that's game over. But it's not. It's just the essence of like, okay, you haven't finished completing what you wanted to do. Now you can refocus and see what else you can do, or you can keep going forward. So it's like you said, the reframing is important. Maybe you need to bring extra additional help to help you progress to that next stage as well.
I think it's easier if you do have a conversation with someone from outside or connected in a different way to the business, because they will see things that you won't see. As you mentioned earlier, we all have blind spots, and it's really important, particularly in business, that you've got someone that shines a light on those blind spots so that they don't trip you up. So you can preempt the challenges they're going to bring, and you can learn the skills or the knowledge or whatever you need to remove that as a blind spot.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this is a great way to probably end the session, but is there one big piece of advice that you would like to give our listeners?
I think the advice is not to care so much about the small stuff. I think sometimes we can all be too precious about our businesses, about the day-to-day bits, and we need to be focused on the bigger purpose. People will say no to us. People that we thought were going to be customers forever will leave us. That's part of life. And we need to not take that too seriously and to keep focused on the bigger purpose. And that bigger purpose is the thing that drives you each morning, the thing that you're trying to achieve. Keeping that front and center is so important, because on the days when the chips don't fall your way, it's really important that you can refocus each day around that bigger purpose.
As I said, I was going to let you close with that. You just mentioned a key word here, purpose. I used to think purpose was maybe an idea that you have and it had a name to it. But then that name can change, that definition could change. It's all about understanding the core why you're doing it versus the actual brand itself. How important is it for you to, well, for anyone to recognize, okay, their purpose could change or be more aligned to something else, but not necessarily sort of deviate so drastically.
I think it's a really interesting philosophical element, philosophical discussion about whether your purpose can change, and I always think it can evolve. And I think we need to be reviewing our purpose continually to make sure it still feels right and still is the driving force. And particularly when you're, younger and starting out in life, things are going to change, because experience of life is going to change the way you think and feel. So I think being too focused sometimes can be a detriment. And I think that you should be continually reviewing your purpose, your vision, your values, and making sure they still fit, and evolving them, I think, is really important. I get all of my business clients each year to review their purpose, their vision, their values, to make sure they still fit and to make sure they still are relevant and still motivating. And if they're not, then we'll adjust them, and we'll iterate them accordingly.
It's more, I'm not saying it's not like a set in stone thing. It's more like water.
No.
It's like how you water to the container. Does it hold? I can carry that over. The moment it overflows or the moment it looks a bit like you need to put in another jug, it's fine. It's still the same purpose, but it just fits
It's
in.
just in a different vessel, isn't it,
Exactly.
from that point of view? Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
I'm all about the analogies on the podcast.
Good.
Nick, where can people find you?
The easiest place is my website, which is nickcramp.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, and thanks to my marketeers, you can find me now on YouTube, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Nice. And the book as well, is that through your website?
Yeah, you can buy the book from that big, wonderful American store, or you can buy it from my little old website.
Hey, podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.